Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Don't stop believing, indeed. And I'm so glad that we are having in studio today a guest that I'm very excited to meet. I've actually met him once before, and that was kind of a bust. So he can tell you about that. But we want to welcome to KDWA Father Matt Shireman. He is the new parochial vicar of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Hastings, and we're thrilled that you came in today. Great to meet you.
Well, thank you, Mo. Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, now tell everybody the first time that you met me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've just recently got my bicycle fixed, and I was biking up to C's, as we call it, from downtown Hastings here.
So you had just come up that big 15th Street hill.
That's right, coming up 15th Street, and it's quite the hill. And then all of a sudden, I heard somebody shouting out of a vehicle.
Welcome to
Hastings. Yeah. So.
Well, I have to tell you, I've never seen anyone in clerics riding a bike on 15th Street Hill. So we're going to give you one of those. Yeah.
There we go.
So I'm going to show you some easier ways to get from your house to
new here, so I'm still learning, you know.
I think if you survive that, boy, you're going to have a great time at C's. It's all downhill.
There we go.
From here, no pun intended. So welcome to Hastings, indeed. And would you be so kind as to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Minnetonka, the parish there is St. Therese in Deep Haven. I went to Minnetonka school, so I'm a skipper. Coming up on my 15-year anniversary. Let's see, I studied civil engineering right out of high school at Marquette University in Milwaukee.
And what is civil engineering exactly?
Well, it's anything related to infrastructure, so the design of roadways, design of bridges, parking garages, anything that's just sort of staying put. I was focusing on traffic engineering, so I worked under a traffic engineer for part of my time in undergrad, and then wanted to learn more about public transportation, so decided to go out to MIT, got a master's degree in transportation out there.
Okay. We're going to give you another one of these.
Okay.
So you're not undereducated, is...
I've had a lot of education. Good to be out in the working world, so to speak, and, yeah, doing ministry now.
So did you ever do ministry when you were working as an engineer? Or I'm always fascinated by people's calling stories. Would you share that, your faith life growing up, perhaps, going back that far?
Okay. I was involved with my church as much as I could, you know, having gone to a public school. I didn't altar serve, but got involved with the youth group and went on some mission trips to Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota.
Sure.
Total of 3 years. And also went to some sort of non-denominational Christian camps growing up, which taught me a love of the Bible and reading that every day. At Marquette, you know, I had friends who were looking into the priesthood and religious life, and thought I should at least consider it, and also being around some priests who were joyful and holy also got me thinking about it. So it wasn't until about the age of 20 that I started looking into it, but...
But you were still pursuing your civil engineering degree.
Correct, yep. So, ended up out there in Boston, went on a couple of discernment retreats while I was out there, and got to see that, seminarians weren't too different than myself, and, after the second one, thought it was time to go ahead and apply to seminary, and I didn't even know who to get in touch with. You know, I wanted to come back here to be a priest, but I didn't know who to get in touch with. I reached out to the wrong seminary at first, the college seminary, but since I already had college degrees, he put me in touch with the vocation director and the major seminary at St. Paul Seminary at St. Thomas, and got accepted, and then spent 7 years in formation before being ordained a priest a year ago, May. So
when you were discerning, as you said, mm-hmm. was there an aha moment when you thought, oh, I think I do want to be a priest? Did God talk to you in a way, maybe, that even if it was subtly, could you, what was it that brought you where you are today?
So pretty late in the process, I was writing, you know, this was while I was working in Cleveland, so after grad school and after I'd even started applying to seminary, but I heard God say, there's something more. This was just on a bus. I was riding in to Cleveland to go to, you know, daily mass and at the cathedral. And since I'd been praying about it for a while, I knew that that was the priesthood. So,
wow. Did that scare you? Or was it peaceful?
It was, I'd say, more peaceful. Yeah. You know, I enjoyed the work I was doing there for the transit agency, and I had met some good friends in the few months that I had already been there and all that. But I thought it was time to go ahead and enter. So
you came back to Minnesota.
Correct.
And then tell us about your family, please. Are you, do you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
I'm the middle of three siblings. So I have an older brother, lives in Minnetonka still, and then my younger sister's married, lives out in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. And how about your parents? What were they just overjoyed when you were looking into the priesthood?
Well, my dad was very supportive. You know, he'd be supportive in whatever I was doing. But, you know, my mom had to sort of warm up to it. I think, you know, she wants grandkids, right? And part of being a priest is that promise of celibacy. And so it took some time, but I think she finally realizes, you know, it was a call from God and is more excited about my vocation and all that.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were ordained a year ago. Where did mm-hmm. you first go when you were ordained, please?
So it wasn't too much of a surprise that I ended up at St. Stephen's in Anoka. I had been there for parts of 2 years previous, so I had first gone there as a sort of an internship, a summer internship as a deacon, and then after I'd finished my studies, I did what was called a pastoral year, where basically I was just living and working at a parish. I didn't have to worry about seminary studies anymore. And so I did that also at St. Stephen's. I worked. I started under my previous pastor, or, you know, the pastor I had previously worked under, Father Jack Long. But then he retired, so then I began working under Father Bennett Tron, and then was told that I was being reassigned here to Hastings. So now I'm on to my third pastor in 13 months, so.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who's had a boss, you know,
right.
knows that, having three bosses in that short of time, but I also—
And you're moving.
I also live with, you know, my boss, too, so it's—
Okay. I'm here to tell you that'd be awful if I had to do that.
There you go.
And scandalous, yes.
There you go.
Well, I hope that it's going to be a wonderful place for you. And tell us a little bit about what you think your gifts are that you're going to be bringing.
Well, you know, it's always tough to know exactly what one is gifted in. And
I don't think it is. I think you're smart, clearly.
Well, okay. So, yeah, there's sort of a difference sometimes between talents and gifts. But so gift-wise, maybe I'm gifted in some form of music, you know, to help people praise and worship God.
Like through that great song, Don't Stop Believing? Love it.
Well, you know, I figure
that's very
got to have some sort of faith, so to speak. And, you know, 80s music helps to, you know, something I can relate to as a child of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I chant at Mass, for example. I've up in Anoka, I was playing the French horn with the school band.
Wow.
So we'll see if I get involved that way. And so things like that. I think I have a gift of pastoring, so just sort of smaller groups of people, just either Bible studies, that sort of thing. So I'll look to see how I can get involved that way too.
What have been some of the most beautiful pieces so far of your vocation?
Of being a priest and all that. You know, being with people when they're dying. I had an anointing call this morning, somebody living here in Hastings. So just to give some comfort there at the end of life, you know, to the one dying, but also to the family, and then to also work with the family as the, you know, funeral's being planned, and to give that homily and to preside at that.
It's such
funeral
a privilege,
mass.
Isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. Yep. So.
Do you remember priests coming around when some of your relatives were dying? Because I'll tell you, as a little girl, that was it. You know, even though it was a terrible time if you knew somebody was dying, but if a priest walked in the room, it seemed like it was all okay.
Well, I don't remember that specifically. My grandpa died pretty suddenly on Christmas Eve of 1993, and I wasn't around when my grandma died in college.
But do you see how people react to you in such a positive way?
Well, I think overall it's pretty positive. You know, there are times where the caller, you know, does bring some negative reactions out of people. Maybe there's been some bad experiences in those people's lives or whatever. But just trying to be representative of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church and all that, and you know, just have really Jesus try to speak and act through me. So.
And how do you feel that every day? And how do you impart that then to people?
Well, certainly hearing confession, saying Mass is a large part of my ministry, and we have daily Mass there at C's, and so the homily itself, you know, is a good avenue for that. Terms of just finding some way in which the sacred scripture is first of all speaking to me, and then thinking about how it might speak to others. The Bible's still live, and sometimes we just need to know some of the context, for example, that
but everything you need to know is in there. What the heck?
As
Catholics, I don't think we know that enough.
True enough. And, you know, sometimes it's generational, you know, like I don't think my parents' generation grew up reading the Bible so often. But, where the Bible came from, the Catholic Church, and we have so much tradition and teaching on it that we can always go deeper with it.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you like to do for fun?
What do I like to do for
fun? Besides biking in your clerics up 15th Street Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
On the hottest day of the year.
I like running too, so I got out for a run even yesterday.
In your clerics?
No. I haven't done that ever, but maybe someday.
No.
Let's see, I'm sort of a foodie. I've tried a lot of the restaurants in town here, like The Onion and Bierstube and Las Margaritas. And
okay.
Was at El Mexican last night.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's lots of good places to eat around
here. Yes, yes. And what can we do when we see you to make your life easier as a priest?
Oh, well, you know, just
pray, of
just
course.
Say hi, and yeah, you know, if you can think of it to say, you know, to say a prayer for me, and I'm trying to hold everybody in prayer here, especially as I'm out, praying my rosary or that sort of thing. So,
Well, we are thrilled that you came in today, and we're so happy to meet you officially and introduce you to the KDWA listening audience. Father Matt Shireman is the new parochial vicar at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Hastings. And for people that don't know what parochial vicar means, can you explain that to us, please?
Sure. It's sort of a technical term. Even some Catholics don't really know, but it basically means assistant pastor. So I help the pastor there, Father Dave, and whatever needs of the parish. And help with Mass and all parts of parish life.
And why don't you give Mass times for people that might be listening?
All right. Well, Sunday Mass times, we have a 4:30 Vigil Mass on Saturday evening, and then 8 and 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, plus a 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and then 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday as well, plus a 5:15 on Tuesday evenings.
Wonderful. And then First Saturday Masses?
There's some special devotions after the First Saturday Mass, so it's still at the same time, 8 a.m., yep, and confessions following.
Well, we're so happy you came in today. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, all. Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure to get to know you, and we wish you a wonderful time in Hastings and continued blessings in your vocation.
All right.
Yes,
well, thank
joy.
You very much.
Yes. Joy in your vocation.
God bless you,
and God
bless all your listeners.
Oh, thank you. We need that. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
Just to see.